Hey, it's Amelia, aka Big Tit.
And I'm Natasha, aka Little Tit.
And together, we're the Graveyard Girls.
Hello.
Hello.
It's a little episode, extra episode, because it's competition time.
Yeah, so for the end of this month, next month, which will be December, January, and then the end of Feb, we will, the last week of each of those months, we're doing this extra little episode to share the stories that you have sent in.
A fictional story this time.
For our short story competition. So before we jump into this month's entries, I just want to go over a little bit of the conditions for the... That sounds really intense, the conditions for this competition, but I kind of need to go over them. So basically, we are looking for you to send us a spooky or scary themed story that is no more than 2,000 words, please. It basically just needs to contain a spooky or scary element. So that could be a spooky or scary character or something that's associated with those things. It could be a full-on thriller. You could have a scary murder. Anything really that you put into that theme. But it's your own free room.
What
can I speak? It's of your own... free will.
Okay.
I don't know.
Well, how's that more?
Can't talk, Natasha. I'm broken today. Yeah, it's your own free will to do with, like, whatever you want with the story. Put in it, like, whatever you want in it, basically. We're not being too strict in terms of that. The only fit other bits that we will add in is, obviously, we're opening it up to everyone. So if you are under 18, please get a parent or guardian's permission. To enter. There's nothing naughty about the story competition, but I think legally, because you're technically minors and we're adults, we have to you've got to ask permission first. Once this is all finished, the last episode will come out at the end of February. Yeah, we'll then do a month of voting and all of our listeners will get to vote for the winner and then they'll receive a prize and we shall read it out to everyone. So once you've written your little story, if you send it to the graveyardgirlspod@gmail.com, you can send us just a story in the email format and we shall read it out, like some of the ones that we've got today. Or if you have really specific voices and characters that you want to include, you can record it yourself. Or even if you just want to read your own story in your own way, you're more than welcome to record your own version and then send us the audio through our email. All you need to include in the top is the title of your story, and if you want to remain anonymous you can, but if you'd like to include your name you can include your name and we will include that at the beginning of each story that we read out. I think that's everything. The closing date will be the 31st of January, because obviously the last episode comes out at the end of Feb, so we need a couple of weeks to put everything together. But in terms of like next month being December and January, as long as you send it at least a week before the episode's due to air, we can pretty much put it together for the end of that month.
Yes.
I think that's everything that we needed to include. If not, the full post is over on our Instagram, which is the Graveyard Girls podcast. So if you want to have a little look on there, and there'll be all the information in that. And if you're looking for some more inspiration outside of this one, we did do a Halloween special
episode. Yes, we did,
In which we shared a story, which kind of was the beginning of the short story competition. So if you're looking for inspiration, you can go and have a little look for that. Maybe today's stories might give you some inspiration to go and write your own. Or if not, you can happily listen to them. And then don't forget to come back in March to vote for your favourite story at the end of it.
So
do you want to go in with the first story that's been sent in?
Okay, so this one comes from an anonymous person.
Okay.
In the dim moonlight, Sarah stumbled through the dense woods, heart pounding in her chest. The haunting echoes of rustling leaves seemed to draw nearer with each passing moment. She felt a chill down her spine as she realised she was being pursued. Branches snagged at her clothes and the gnarled roots beneath the forest floor threatened to trip her. Her breaths were sharp, each inhale with a desperate gulp of air. She dared not to look back, fearing what lurked in the shadows. The ominous canopy of trees loomed overhead, casting elongated shadows that danced in the flickering moonlight. As Sarah sprinted, the oppressive darkness swallowed the path behind her, making it impossible to discern friend from foe. A low growl echoed through the night, causing her to quicken her pace. Panic set in, clouding her thoughts, as she weaved through the labyrinth of trees. The chilling wind carried whispers that seemed to mock her, and the pursuit gained an unnerving rhythm. A pair of glowing eyes emerged from the shadows, fixated on Sarah like a predator closing in on its prey. The air thickened with an otherworldly malevolence as the creature revealed itself, a hulking silhouette obscured by the night. Sarah's pulse raced and her legs burned with exertion. She stumbled over uneven ground, feeling the creature's breath hot on her neck. The sinister's presence seemed to toy with her, toying with the boundary between fear and despair. A piercing howl shattered the silence, freezing her in her tracks. The moonlight revealed the creature's grotesque form, but all Sarah could see was fur and fangs, its eyes gleaming with an insatiable hunger. Adrenaline surged through Sarah as she sprinted again, desperate to escape the monstrous entity. The forest seemed to close in around her, the trees bending and contorting as if alive. The shadows whispered ancient secrets, and the pursuit evolved into a nightmarish symphony. Sarah's breaths came in ragged gasps, and her surroundings blurred into a nightmarish panorama. She chanced a glance backward, regretting it immediately. The creature's monstrous image was inches away, its maw agape with razor-sharp teeth. Her legs screamed in protest, but she pushed herself harder, fueled by sheer terror. The woods became a surreal dreamscape, twisting and warping with each frantic step. Sarah's mind played tricks on her, conjuring ghastly illusions in her periphery. The boundaries between reality and nightmare blurred, and she questioned whether escape was even possible. Just when she believed her strength would give out, a faint glimmer of light pierced the darkness ahead. The exit from the living nightmare was in reach. Summoning the last reserves of her energy, Sarah burst into the clearing beyond the woods. Gasping for breath, she stumbled into the moonlit meadow, leaving the creature ensnared in the shadow of the trees. The haunting whispers faded, and the malevolent presence dissolved into the night. As Sarah collapsed on the dew-covered grass, she realized the forest held secrets beyond imagination. The woods whispered of ancient terrors and primal fears that lingered in the shadows, waiting for the next unsuspecting soul to wander into their domain. And that's the end.
It's a very strong start for the competition, isn't it?
It's definitely spooky.
There we go. So that's the first idea of what we get. I think that we've had a quick look through the other ones in today. I think they're all quite different, aren't they?
They are.
So, yeah, it's really nice. Hopefully by the end of this episode, you'll have a good idea.
Lots of words that I was just like, it's very hard to read. When they're together.
So you did a very good job. Because that was the hard thing as well. When I looked at these, like, oh, I hope we do them justice. You know, when people write things, you're like, oh, I hope it turns out as good as what they hope.
And it's like, I can't speak words out loud.
Okay, do you want to do another one? Or do you want me to do one and then you do one?
You do one and then I do one.
So this next one that's come in is called The Lost Ghost.
Oh, that's cute. The Lost Ghost, I do like that.
Okay. The wind whistles, the trees creak, leaves cover the floor and crunch beneath my feet. It's dark, it's damp, there's something strange about this land. There are no flowers, no birds singing in the trees, no other person's footsteps, no lights, no homes, just me. The more I walk, the quieter it gets. I wander aimlessly, waiting patiently to see if anything happens to me. But there's nothing. No creatures, no cries, no crooks, not so much as a stranger giving me strange looks. The further I travel into the town, the more bizarre things seem. How is it that nobody seems to notice me? I jump out and scream, yet not even the little old lady spills her cream. I wail and whine whilst the others dine, but nobody is bothered by me. The night is long, so I fill it by singing songs. Just when I give up all hope of making a friend, a little girl greets me and she wants to know from where I came. She laughs at my old dress and comments on how I'm a blood-soaked mess. It was then that I realised I'm now just a lost little ghost. It's a really short one,
that's so
but it's
sweet.
Really cute.
That's so sweet.
So I like a little ghosty. We do like little ghosties here.
We do like little ghosties
here. So, yeah, like I said, it doesn't need to be massive long. We set the 2,000 word limit, but you don't have to hit the 2,000 words. So I think we've got a good little mix there.
Yeah.
So far. So yeah, that was story number two. I think when it comes to doing the voting, I'll list them like one and then like two, but then also put the name, the titles of each one.
Was that by an anonymous person?
Yeah, another anonymous one. So it'll just be listed as the title.
The little, that's very sweet. There's me trying not to say anything, and I'm just like, okay.
I know, I nearly said something when you read the first one, and I'm like, no, I've got to be quiet.
Oh, it's so cute. And then it's like, okay. Are we ready for the next one?
Yeah, ready for the next one.
Okay, this one comes from Ibrahim.
Okay.
I will try and read it in a good way, but I might not do. On the eve of Halloween, a small suburban neighborhood named Maplewood prepared it for its annual celebration. Children's laughter filled the streets as they donned costumes and decorations and adorned every house. But in the midst of this festive chaos, one house stood apart, shrouded in mystery and cloaked in legends. The old manor at the end of Ravenwood Street had been abandoned for as long as anyone could remember. The town folk inspired stories about it, claiming it was haunted by the spirits of witches and warlocks who had met a tragic end centuries ago. A bold group of friends, Sarah, Ben and Lily, dared each other to spend the night inside the manor to debunk the stories. As the moon rose high and the clock struck midnight, the trio gathered outside the eerie mansion. Armed with flashlights and trembling with anticipation, they stepped inside. The air was thick with an otherworldly chill, and the grand foyer was adorned with cobwebs and old portraits. Their adventure led them deeper into the house, discovering hidden passages and long-forgotten rooms. With every creaking floorboard, their fear intensified. Yet they pressed on. In a long-forgotten library, they uncovered a dusty tome that spoke of the manor's history and the powerful coven of witches who once dwelled there. As they delved further into the tome, the room around them began to shift. The book's words came alive, revealing the stories of the witches who had faced persecution during the witch trials. The room became a portal to the past, transporting the trio to a time where witches had to hide their powers. The young witches in the past, sensing the trio's presence, explained their plight and the dark magic that had cursed the house. With newfound knowledge and empathy, Sarah, Ben and Lily vowed to break the curse and save the spirits of the innocent witches. Working together, they managed to find and destroy the source of the curse, an enchanted mirror hidden in the attic. As they shattered the mirror, the manor trembled, and a brilliant burst of light filled the night sky. The curse lifted, and the spirits of the witches were finally free. The manor transformed from a place of fear into one of wonder and celebration. The townfolks embraced the newfound history of the old house and made it into the centerpiece of their Halloween festivities, a testament to the power of friendship and understanding. From that night on, the old manor of Ravenwood Street was no longer feared, but cherished as a symbol of unity and compassion. Halloween in Maplewood was forever changed, celebrating not just costumes and candy, but the magic of overcoming the past haunting legacy. And that's the end.
I really like this. I like it's that. Tying in the witches. I like as well, it's like freed the witches from like all of the bad history as well.
And like the Maplewood and the Ravenwood, that was very similar to something that I wanted to add in our story.
Oh.
I think I sent that as an option.
Yeah, I think we did consider it.
It's a spy. The person
reading our mind.
Spy. Ooh,
is this the same Ebs that sent us our thingy in the spooky season, so they had a premonition?
Yeah.
Oh. Is this the premonition? Is this the deja vu?
Ooh, maybe. Ebs, if there's any like good news coming towards us, you could let us know.
Yeah, yeah. Massively appreciate that. No, I like a good witchy one. And then I like the fact that it's like they got freed at the end.
Yeah. No, I do like that. I do like that the whole town is like celebrating Halloween together.
Yeah. And witches, because witches are cool.
Yeah. That was a good one.
I really like that one.
I might have butchered it. I'm sorry.
It's so hard when you're reading other people's stuff, because you want to do it like really well.
Yeah. So it's like reading out what we write for the research for the normal.
Yeah, you just so do much it easier. However you want. Yeah.
But then it's like when it comes to like Hidden in the Hollows or reading out someone else's work, you're like, oh no, I can't read
this
work.
Because I see like this, because I've noticed this like next one also, we've got bits of like dialogue and stuff in it. And it's like you want to do it like justice. You don't want to ruin it, because you know when other people write things, you think, oh, they've got an idea of a character in their head, and you think, I hope I do it how they wanted me to do it. Okay, so this last one that we're covering today has been titled A Grisly End. And there is dialogue in this one, and there's a bit in it where there's a man, so I'm going to do my very best to do a man's voice.
Yeah, you can be the man.
Yeah, I'll try and do the man. Yeah, I think you've got too feminine a voice, so I'm going to attempt to do a man's voice, but I do apologise because I might butcher this a little bit. Okay. So, a grisly end. It was a dull and dark winter's day. The time was 5:10 p.m. The door was ajar. The shop should have been closed by now. Ethel called for the shop owner's Mrs. Simpkin.
Miss, are you all right?
There was no reply. Ethel crept round the door and headed for the counter. Maybe Mrs. Simpkin was just locking up. The rear of the shop was in darkness. Where had she gone? Feeling slightly unsettled, but wanting to be sure Mrs. Simpkin was okay, Ethel lifted the counter and headed for the storeroom. She called out desperately, hoping for a response.
Miss, are you there?
Still, no one replied. Ethel had to switch on each light as she made her way down the corridor. It appeared no one was there. As she reached the end of this corridor, there was three doors. One for the storeroom, one leading to the courtyard, and the last opened out into a stairway. Unsure whether she should proceed, Ethel made one last attempt to catch Mrs. Simpkin's attention.
Are you all right? I noticed the shop door was open. Just checking everything is okay?
A faint shuffle could be heard.
Mrs. Simpkin, is that you? Are you all right?
Everything went quiet again. Feeling increasingly unsettled and too scared to investigate any further, Ethel decided she should turn back and call for the police. She turned and headed back, trying to leave as quickly and as quietly as possible. Ethel upped her pace. She wanted to get out quickly. Too terrified to look back to see who was coming down the stairs, Ethel focused on getting out. The door back to the shop was just a matter of metres away. If she didn't stop and look behind her, then everything would be fine, right? Ethel felt something reach for the back of her coat. Then followed a strange pressure to the back of her head. Her ears started to ring. Then suddenly she could feel herself falling. Then everything stopped. The time was now 6 p.m. It started to rain and most people were now sheltered indoors or were rushing to make their way home. Dozens had passed the shop and none had noticed that the door was open despite the store having closed 2 hours before. That was until Molly passed. She'd previously worked for Mrs. Simpkin and knew full well Mrs. Simpkin would not have left that shop door open. Mrs. Simpkin was 62 years old. She was a frail lady, and though she made up for it with her stern, no-nonsense personality, even she knew it was safer to shut up early in the winter months and make sure everything was locked before the streets were plunged into darkness. Even on warmer days, Mrs. Simpkin would shut the door behind each customer. She didn't like letting the heat out, and under no circumstances would she forget to change the sign on the door to closed. Very much aware that something was wrong, Molly dashed to the phone box at the end of the street and phoned for the police. She then made her way back to the shopfront and waited for a constable to attend. Half an hour passed before a red-faced Constable Tippins appeared. Out of breath, he asked,
"Was it you that called, miss?"
Molly pointed to the shop door and panically explained,
"Yes, something is very wrong. The door is open. I know Mrs. Simpkin, she doesn't leave the door open. She lives above the store. There's no way she would forget to lock up."
"Okay, miss, wait here, I'll take a look,"
PC Tippins replied. He made his way through the shop and noticed the lifted countertop. He reached for the door leading to the back of the store and flipped the light switch. This was not a scene anyone wanted to be confronted with. Ethel's body lay face down with her arms stretched out in front of her. She'd clearly sustained a heavy blow to the back of her head. Blood pooled around her as it trickled from both the wound as well as her nose, ears and mouth. Obviously much younger looking than the shopkeeper, PC Tippins knew there was a strong possibility there'd be a second victim at the scene. That possibility would soon become a fact. Upstairs in Mrs. Simpkin's lodgings was a rather brutal scene. Blood covered every room, it splattered the ceilings and a number of walls. Small pools of blood had soaked into the armchair and even more could be found on a rug in the bedroom. The bathtub contained blood-matted hair, bloodied handprints, and a blood-soaked towel. Teeth littered the hallway. But where was the rest of Mrs. Simpkin's body? Was this her blood? Was she the victim? Could she have been the killer? The police were left with far more questions than answers. Who was the perpetrator? And how exactly did these victims meet their grisly end?
Ooh.
I want to know.
Just
do we need a second story for this person? Should the person write a second one?
So there's just teeth.
Yeah, in the hallway.
And some
so
hair.
Have they? I have lots of questions about this murder. Have they chopped her up to get her out? And did did a did the teeth fall out? Did she fall on the floor and that's how her teeth fell out? Or did they pull her teeth out? Did they torture her? I have lots of questions about this story. We need a trilogy.
I'm thinking she went down the drain pipe and the only thing that left was teeth. I don't know why.
But yeah, so it's like this person, they've sent us the scary story, like the spooky story. They fit the theme, but they've also left us with a mystery.
I think they're trying to admit to a crime.
Maybe. I do kind of want a second follow-up story, which doesn't really work for the story competition, but I do kind of want to know more.
Mm. Very interesting.
Mm. So, I think for this first episode, we've had four very different ones.
Mm.
So hopefully, if you were umming and ahhing as to whether to send one in, hope this is like swayed you to do it now. Because I think with it, it's a good mix. They're all very different, and all different lengths as well. So it sort of proves like you don't have to be... I've written loads of story bits before. It doesn't have to be really long. You don't have to, like I said, we don't have to meet the 2,000 words.
Nope.
You can make a shorter one, like the little ghosty one.
Yeah, that one was very cute. And then I was just like, oh, in the
middle. I know, I felt a bit sad for it in the middle. I felt like I needed to do a bit of a somber voice.
You can come live with me.
Yeah, the little ghost. I just like, it was like trawling around and then it didn't understand why no one was talking back to it.
Oh, that's so sweet.
But yeah, no, I like it. It's been a real good mix of different spooky characters, and they've all fit into the spooky, scary theme in at least one way.
Well, that's what we asked for.
Yeah, it's exactly what we asked for. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, hopefully you've enjoyed this episode. And obviously don't forget to keep coming back at the end of each month for the next couple of months to hear the next lot that have been sent in. And then obviously we'll do voting in March. So, yeah, like I said, we'll include in the details of this, like the description, we'll make sure we add all the email and stuff in. But yeah, if you want to ever go back and check like the terms and conditions, you can either check on the website or on our Instagram page.
Yep.
We have all the full details.
We do.
Over on there. So yeah, thank you for joining us for this one. And I look forward to next month's one now.
Yeah.
We'll
see what we get.
Yeah, see what we get. Are we doing a usual little sign-off at the end?
I assume so.
Okay.
So, that's how we end episodes.
Yeah,
this is an episode.
I was like, how do we end this? This is different. I guess on that note then, in the meantime,
keep creeping.
And we'll keep digging.